Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Tonight, Life Rattle number 1360 brings you a classic story from Denny Hunt. Denny Hunt came to Canada in 1967 when he was 12 and a half from Barbados with his brother and three sisters to rejoin parents who had arrived earlier. Hunt was born and spent his youth in Ellerton, Barbados, a village of 3,000 to 4,000 people in a landlocked parish on the island. The Hunt family settled in Toronto. Denny attended Ryerson and York Universities and has worked for Toronto Social Services since 1981. Hunt has been a frequent contributor to Life Rattle, as well as a generous supporter and a volunteer for our various projects over the years. The story you will hear tonight comes from Hunt's experience as a caseworker for social services. Next month, we will backtrack and start a series of stories from Hunt about growing up in Barbados, then his immigration to Canada. So let's hear tonight's classic story from Denny Hunt, here on Life Rattle, coming to you from Toronto, Ontario. And remember, Life Rattle stories often contain language and situations that some listeners may find offensive, so listener discretion is always advised. Here is Denny Hunt reading his story, The Home Visit.
The Home Visit. I am a black man, a large-chested, dreadlocked black man born in the village of Ellerton in the parish of St. George in Barbados. I stand now, 35 years after I left that hot place when I was 10 years old, in a cold place, at the corner of Queen Street and Parliament in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in February. The winter's wind chills my face, my neck, and ears. Tucking my neck between both shoulders, I pull my black cotton toque forward on my forehead and ears, covering all but the ends of my locked hair. Rusty nails and broken staples protrude from the wooden door of the Queen Street East address. I glimpse my wristwatch, 8:35 a.m. I stand here as a welfare caseworker. At the last staff meeting, the area manager, Mrs. Philpott, reminded us to do our home visits within regular working hours, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If a job-related incident occurred outside normal working hours, she says, the department would assume no liability. I knock four times with my pen. "Who is it?" a female voice says. The westbound Queen streetcar moves towards the Parliament Street intersection. Traffic lights flash red. Streetcar wheels screech. "I am Mr. Maynard from Social Services." "Who is it?" the voice repeats. A few seconds later, loud pounding of feet echoes behind the door. The lock on the door clicks, the knob turns, and the door opens to the full extension of the safety chain. A puff of smoke explodes into my face. Through thinning smoke, a white woman in her early 20s, with light brown shoulder-length hair and a small, round face, peeks from the other side of the door. "What do you want?" she says. I look at her. I look at the number on the apartment door. I look at the top left corner of the home visit request sheet in my hand. Applicant, Nancy Davies. Age, 19. Status, single parent. "Are you Miss Davies?" She stares. I pull a calling card from my jacket pocket and hand it to her. "I am here to complete Miss Davies' application for social assistance. Does she live here?" The young woman stares at the calling card, glances at me, then rereads the card. "Mrs. Davies phoned the office yesterday and requested a home visit. She gave this as her address." Without speaking or making eye contact, she studies my face. Her gaze descends to my chest, my stomach, my legs, my shoes, and returns to my face. Our eyes lock as I step back from the door. "Are you the welfare worker?" she says loudly. I nod. "Yes, I am. You got something with your picture on it?" I take off my toque, revealing my locks. squeezes the two under my armpit, reaches into my pants pocket, pulls out my wallet, and shows her my employee ID card. She stares at my photo, taken 10 years ago when I had closely cropped hair, smiles, then releases the chain latch. Come on in. I stare at her. Are you Miss Davies? Oh, yes, I am Miss Davies, she smiles. Please call me Nancy. Everybody calls me Nancy. I nod. I didn't expect the worker to be here this early. Miss Davies turns and walks up the flight of wooden stairs. I walk behind her. The stairs creak. She is wearing a long blue house coat and one pink slipper. Midway up the stairs, she glances over her shoulder. To be honest, I didn't expect you to be. I expected, you know. I expected someone else, she smiles. You don't look like a welfare worker. Thank you. I think I'll take that as a compliment. But what does a welfare worker look like? Miss Davies stops and turns. Holding onto the wooden railing, she stares at the ceiling, takes a drag from her cigarette, holds her breath for a second, then exhales. Well, you know, somebody who is like what, I ask? Taller? Female? Older? She smiles. You remind me of someone, she says. Is that so? At the top of the stairs, Miss Davies slips her left foot into the other pink slipper. This is the apartment, she says. Miss Davies ushers me inside. She throws the cigarette butt in the sink and points to a small table and 4 chairs. She nods towards a partially closed door across the room. Do you have to see Sean? He's asleep in the bedroom. He has a bad cold. No, not really. Nancy Davies and Sean, her 2-year-old son, live with Nancy's mom. Dance music from WBLK pulses from the bedroom. He kept me up all night. My mother leaves for work early in the morning. She says if I'm going to stay with her, I'll have to pay half the rent, buy my own food, and live by her rules. Miss Davies walks into the kitchen, dampens a used J-cloth, returns, and wipes the plastic table cover and mats. Excuse the dirty dishes. Mom is a neat freak. She gets upset if I leave dirty dishes in the sink overnight. I have to wash them before she gets home from work. Crumbs fall from the table into her cupped hand and onto the unswept wood floor. Miss Davies tosses the J-cloth towards the sink, where it settles in an unwashed yellow plastic dish filled with soapy water. Water beads the plastic table mat. I place the application forms on my thighs and start the interview. Can I see your verifiable ID, please? Miss Davies reaches into the glass fruit tray filled with colorful plastic fruits and pulls out a small leather wallet. She puts the wallet in the center of the table, opens it, and hands me her Canadian birth certificate. And do you have your son's birth certificate, Miss Davies? She places her hand over her mouth and glances at me. Is something wrong? Not really. But it sounds so strange when you call me Miss Davies. Like I said, everyone calls me Nancy. I nod. Nancy lifts the fruit tray and removes a plastic birth certificate. And how have you managed financially until now? I was living with friends for the past 6 months. I just moved back home less than a week ago. Do you have any assets? Nancy shakes her head. Silver earrings, cut in the shape of Africa, hang from both ears. Do you have any income? She knits her brow. I smile. Do you expect any income in the future? How have you survived financially until now? Nancy sighs as she exhales. She glances in the kitchen, looks out the living room window, and taps on the tabletop with her long, polished nails. Are you on your mother's lease? How much rent do you pay your mother? And what is your mother's name? Why do you need to know about her? She's not a plan for welfare. She doesn't even know I phoned the office. I need to record your living situation. Her name is Irma Davies. I hear a key in the apartment door lock. Nancy, a woman shouts from the hallway. Nancy raises her hands to her mouth. That is my mom, she says. She's gonna be mad at me. The woman stands inside the apartment door and glares at us. Nancy looks at me. I look at the woman. I told you not to bring anyone in my house, the woman says. Irma Davies' eyes dart back and forth from Nancy to me. Her face is round like her daughter's. Tram lines streak her forehead. This is how you got in trouble in the first place. I didn't accept this kind of behavior then, and I won't accept it now, Irma Davies says. Like I told you, if you can't live by my rules, you're going to have to move. Mrs. Davies' jaw tightens. One mistake is not enough, and you can scarcely care for one child. Nancy blushes. Her mother slams the door and walks towards me. I stand. Where is Sean? Irma Davies demands. He is in the bedroom sleeping, Nancy says. And this is how you're looking after a sick child, her mother interrupts. And you haven't even cleaned up the mess you left in the kitchen last night. Irma Davies glimpses her watch, holds her head high, turns to avoid me, and continues down the hallway. I want him out of my house right now, she says. I pick up the partially completed application form from the table. But, Mom, this is not what you think. This is the welfare worker. The what? Irma Davies stops walking, turns, stares at her daughter, and then at me. Mr. Maynard is a worker from the welfare office, Nancy says. Irma Davies squints as she stares at me and starts walking back down the hallway. You are a welfare worker? I nod. Have a seat, Mr. Maynard, Nancy whispers. I glance at Nancy, at the chair, then at her mom. I'm sorry, Irma Davies says. For a moment, I thought you were someone else. I extend my hand. Irma Davies shakes it weakly. I sit. I unfold the application forms and rest them on the dry table mat. Who did you think I was? Irma Davies' voice becomes almost inaudible. You look somewhat like Sean's no-good father. Nancy smiles, then raises her hands to cover her mouth and nose. But now that I look closer, he may be a bit thinner and not as, dark, her mother says. That's what I wanted to tell you earlier, Nancy whispers. As I uncap my pen, Irma Davies walks towards the table, stands behind my shoulder, and looks at the application form. Nancy sits on the other side of the table. Does Sean's dad pay child support? Nancy shakes her head. Do you have a court order for support for Sean? I wish, Irma Davies says. Nancy glares at her mom. If she had listened to me, she wouldn't be in this situation. She would be in school getting an education instead of applying for welfare. I didn't think about getting welfare when I had her. I raised her alone, without asking for or getting a dollar from anyone. Not from her father or from the government, Irma Davies says. Nancy sighs. She stares at the ceiling. She stares at the unswept floor. Sean's father, what's his name? Jerry Padmore, Irma Davies says. Where does he live? Only the good Lord knows, Irma Davies says. Mom, he's talking to me, not to you, Nancy says. I glance from Irma to Nancy. Their eyes lock. Excuse me, Mrs. Davies, I say. Nancy has to answer these questions since this is her application. Irma Davies rests her hands on her hips. Then she points her finger at me. Mr. Maynard, you welfare people are part of the problem, she says. These kids learn from an early age that you will give them welfare. This is why they get themselves into all kinds of trouble. If you ask me, you guys make it too easy for them to get money. Mom, Mom, a cry comes from the bedroom. A little boy with a light brown complexion, curly black hair, big dark eyes, and sturdy legs, wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs t-shirt, stands in the doorway. He cries. His nose runs, and mucus drains into his mouth. The boy looks at his mother, at his grandmother, then at me. Nancy pulls a tissue from the box on the cabinet and walks towards him with outstretched arms. Come to Mom, Sean. Come. Sean stops crying. Nancy bends to pick him up, but Sean circles away from her outstretched arms and runs towards me, wiping his runny nose with the back of his hand in mid-stride. Drool from his mouth falls onto his chin, onto his already wet t-shirt, and onto the floor. His arms flail at his sides. Daddy! 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 He shouts. Sean grabs my knees and climbs onto my lap. His wet hands grab the table, smudging and wrinkling the application forms. They fall to the floor. Lifting him onto my lap, I glance at his mom. Nancy blushes, then rushes towards me. Sean tightens his already firm grip on my shoulders and cries. The tears roll down his cheeks and onto my shirt. His grandmother stares at me, at him, and at the forms that lay scattered on the floor. Irma Davies leans forward and gathers the welfare papers. "I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed," she says. Irma Davies places the forms and my pen on the table, then stares at the ceiling. Nancy stares at the table. "It's all right." I place my arms around Sean's back and hug him. He stops crying. His wet face feels warm against mine.
That was Denny Hunt reading his story, The Home Visit. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1360. Arnie Ackman recorded Denny Hunt reading his story. My name is Virginia Ashberry, and Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman.